We're going to read in our Bibles this evening from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so I'd like to invite your attention there. We always get so much more to get one. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We often think about this as being the chapter in the Bible that says more about love than any other chapter in the Bible. But it's found in the setting of spiritual gifts or spiritual workings, the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so the chapter really is about the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to look here with me. Now I'm going to move the pulpit down, maybe just get it a tiny bit lower if we can, so you can see the whiteboard, because we're going to write some things on the board here in a minute. If any of you still find that where you're sitting you can't see, please feel free to move. Let's ask the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have this privilege this evening to gather in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. We don't want to gather in a denominational name or a church name or the name of a pastor or anything like that. Those are unworthy of our assembly tonight. We want to gather in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. We thank you, Father, that He is God incarnate, that He gave His life upon the cross for our sins, that we might be saved. And we thank you, Father, that He is risen from the dead and seated at the Father's right hand and coming soon. We anticipate the return of the Lord Jesus. We're eager for Him to come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And so we come in the worthy name of Christ before your throne to ask your blessing. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. The Holy Spirit has the ability to teach us the Word of God. And we pray that our thoughts will not be so cluttered up with people and things and lesser matters. We pray that rather our thoughts, that we'll push these things aside and fix our attention on the Word of God and have simple faith that what you've given us in the Scripture is precisely correct, full of authority, life-giving, and will be a blessing to us. Feed us and instruct us, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to read the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, and we're not going to try to cover it all this evening. I'd like to come back to this, the Lord willing, next Lord's Day evening. But we're going to just particularly look at the first three verses. Let's read all the chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Before we consider the passage of Scripture this evening, I want to tell you that my mother took me to Sunday school when I was a very little boy, probably about 3 years old, 4 years old, and that was a long time ago. My dad got out of the Army in 1945 and came home from the Second World War. My mom was converted about 1947, I think it was. It may have been 1948. And she took me and my sis to Sunday school immediately as soon as she was converted. I still remember my first Sunday school teacher's surname. It was Mrs. Lane. I look forward to meeting her in heaven and telling her that she planted some seeds of truth in my heart at the tender age of 3 or 4 years old. From that time until about 1975 or 1976, as far as I can remember, I remember many of the sermons I heard in those churches we attended. As far as I know, I never heard even one message on the subject of spiritual gifts. I don't know if I ever heard the word mentioned in preaching. There was not among the preachers we had, as far as I know, even one person that ever preached to us about our spiritual gifts. And so it was that in 1975 or 1976, when we were living in Melbourne, almost 30 years after I started going to church, I first heard a man preach on the subject of spiritual gifts. And in one night, he laid out a very simple but complete outline of what the New Testament teaches about spiritual gifts. And it was enormously helped. I wrote notes as fast as I could write. I think he preached for about an hour and a half or 2 hours. And that message has been the greatest help to me as a Christian regarding spiritual gifts. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand tonight, but I wonder how many of you ever wonder, what is my spiritual gift? Because the Scripture teaches very plainly that God gives spiritual abilities to His children. In fact, we're going to look tonight at four passages of Scripture, and we're going to have to look at them with broad brush strokes. We can't go into every detail, but I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. And just by way of introduction, I want to call your attention two verses in 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, I would encourage you to write these references down and take them home and spend a great deal of time studying them on your own. Please don't go away from here and say, I know everything there is to know about spiritual gifts after tonight. That will not be true. It will not be true if you study it, but you will be benefited and blessed. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11, these are the words the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Please look at what is contained in these verses. First of all, we're told that every man, in the sense of every believer, every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ who's come to saving faith in Christ, every man hath received the gift. Did you know what every Christian has in common? Only one thing: salvation. So therefore, we understand that the spiritual gift is given to us at the moment of conversion to Jesus Christ. When we come to know the dear Savior, when He becomes our Lord and Savior, at the moment of salvation, God imparts to us a spiritual ability which we never had before. Do we know about it? No. Do we understand it? No. Do we know how to use it? No. But He has given to us an ability that if we will grow in the Lord and grow and grow, we will find ourselves even unawares exercising the gift that God has equipped us with. If you'll permit me just a moment to digress. When you were conceived in the womb, God gave you in that conception in the womb, when you became a person at conception. That's the biblical viewpoint. You are a person from conception. You are a human being from conception. God gave you certain natural gifts. And some of you will say, well, I'm really good at running. We know a girl here in Melinda, Kate Johnson, that's really, really good at running. And that was a natural gift given to her at conception. Some of you are very strong physically. That is a natural gift. Some of you have musical ability, and you can use that well. And that's a natural gift. It's not a spiritual gift. But it parallels, it teaches us a lesson that right from the beginning, you had in you, in seed form, in very basic, very simple form, you had those abilities in you from a very young age. I wouldn't embarrass Jillian for anything in the world much. When Jillian started learning to play the piano, it was obvious to everyone that heard her, the first recital that the teacher had, that she had unusual musical ability. It wasn't mother and dad gave her that. It was God putting that in her from the moment of conception. So, very similar. God has given every born-again Christian a spiritual gift. We have some boys and girls here at Grace Baptist Church that have trusted the Lord in the last 12 months. I want to tell you something special about yourself, and that is that God has equipped you already with a spiritual gift, as every man hath received the gift. Now, what are our gifts for? Verse 10 says, the very next phrase, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, my pages have turned. In chapter 4, verse number 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. What is your gift for? Well, it's not for me. It's for you. What is your gift for? It's not for you. It's for someone else. Minister the same one to another. Your gift is for other people. Can you picture yourself this evening as having a spoon attached to your arm that is about 2 meters long? Can you picture yourself having a spoon attached to your arm? And we all sit down around tables and you stick your spoon in the most delicious looking thing on the table and you reach it up and you can't reach it because your arm just won't let you get to the spoon. So you reach across the table and say, Elliot, do you like this? He said, I love it. I say, here, have some. Elliot says, oh, well, that's really good. Pastor, do you like this? Oh, I love it. And that's what our gifts, that's how our gifts work. My gift is for you. Your gift is for me. Your gift is for you. And your gift is for you. And your gift is for you. And it's all this using our gift for someone else. The brother I heard preach about the subject of gifts told us that he had a little boy. And they went to a restaurant one time and he said they brought a high chair for the little boy and gave him a bowl and a spoon in preparation for the food to come. And the little boy found out that spoons and metal tops, metal trays on high chairs are very good for making noise. And he's proceeding to have himself a really good time. Well, that's not what spoons are for, is it? And that's not what the trays of high chairs are for. Now, let me tell you, there are a lot of people that selfishly use their spiritual gift for their own enjoyment, but that's not God's plan. Your spiritual gift is for someone else. Minister the same one to another. And then we're told in chapter 4, verse number 10, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A steward is a manager of someone else's property. Whose property is this spiritual gift? It's God's property. It's His ability. It's God's gift that He has put in our care to use for the benefit of others. And as I use it for the benefit and the blessing of other people, I'm being a good steward. There are great rewards for good stewards. as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then in verse number 11, we're told that there are two kinds of gifts, or two classes of gifts. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister or serve, and there basically are two simple divisions of verses, speaking gifts and serving gifts. And you'll find that in the list of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans chapter 12, you'll find that every gift falls into one category or the other. It's either a speaking gift or a serving gift. And did you know, dear friends, that speaking gifts are not superior to serving gifts? That serving gifts are just as good? And serving gifts are not superior to speaking gifts? But this verse tells us that. It says, if any man speak, let him speak with authority. Speak as the oracles of God. If any man serve or minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. So why are we using our gifts well? So that God will be glorified. So that people will lift up the name of the Lord and honor Him and do so through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Now turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we find a phrase similar, two verses or three here in Ephesians chapter 4, somewhat similar to what we've read there in 1 Peter. In Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to leave you to write down the verses as we look at them here. You'll see here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 8, speaking of the ascension of Christ after His resurrection, Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And there's a reference to God giving gifts unto men. And if you skip down to verse 11, we see what the gifts are. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And what this is saying is that one of the ways that God works through the gifts is that He gives gifted men to the churches. Men who serve as apostles. That was in the time of the apostles. Some served as evangelists. Some as preachers and teachers and pastors. That God gives gifted men. You know, whenever we have guest preachers in here, we try to have the very best of the very best. We want to have preachers that really challenge us and feed us with the Word of God. You know, Brother Randy was here and we were so thankful, and Brother Dwight Smith was here and was a blessing. Brother Glenn Weeks has been and preached. Dave Crow's been and preached for us and others, and we'll have more in time to come. You know what we're looking for? We're looking for gifted men that are gifts to the church. That's what we're looking for. That's what we want. As we pray for Brother Harrington going down there to Coastline to candidate. Brother Dan went back to the state. We're talking about men that are gifts to the local churches. But then I want you to turn with me back to Romans chapter 12. Now again, please go and study these passages of Scripture. Don't be content with what we're looking at this evening. We haven't really gotten to our text this evening, and we're not going to stay there long when we do. But in Romans chapter 12, beginning here in verse number 6 and reading down to verse 8. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 down to 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 down to 8. Verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. The context of this verse has to do with the human body. The members of your body have differing skills, one from the other. My eye can't do what my ear can do. My nose cannot do what my tongue can do. My left hand cannot do what my right hand can do. Are any of you ambidextrous? You know what that means? It means make sawdust with both hands. It does, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it, Brother Kev? Brother Kev, are there things, you're ambidextrous, can you do some things better with your right hand than you can with your left hand? You do better with your left hand than you do with your right hand. Oh, well, Brother, we're going to put him on the spot. He didn't know this was coming, okay? This is not set up. What can you do better with your left hand than you can with your right hand?
I can I play sport, I play all with my left hand. When I write with my right hand. But if I illustrate on the board, I illustrate with my left hand.
Now, don't tell me he's mixed up. Don't tell me he's mixed up. It's just that his hands have different abilities. Isn't that right? If I use a hammer, I have to use it in my left hand. If I use a screwdriver, I have to use it in my right hand. Don't tell me there's something wrong up here. My wife has already informed me about that. All right? I already know about that. But the scripture says here that we, like the members of a human body, in the Lord's body, in the church, we have gifts that differ. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then there are seven listed. Whether prophecy, which basically has to do with preaching, in the apostles' time, it could have to do with preaching truth already revealed, or it could have to do as Paul did when he preached the new doctrine of the church in Ephesians. It could have to do with preaching doctrine that had not yet been revealed. So prophecy in verse number 6. And then verse 7, or ministry. We come across that word again. We saw in 1 Peter 4 that it has to do with serving. All right, if God has given you a gift of serving, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so there are seven that are listed. One in verse 6, two in verse 7, and there are four in verse 8. And those are what we call the body gifts. We believe that this listing in Romans chapter 12 has a simpler and clearer application to churches in this time, because what we read in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 was that there were some sign gifts that were only effective and only in use about the time of the apostles' lives, and then they died out of their own accord. No one forced them to. No one had to make them against the law. They just ceased in and of themselves. It's like driving a car down the road. You haven't paid any attention to the petrol gauge. It runs out of fuel. It goes to a stop. It ceased of its own will and accord. No one made it do it. It just ceased by itself. And that's what the scripture teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 8. So these verses here in Romans chapter 12 are describing to us gifts that are operating right now. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to read this. I'd like you to read it all out loud with me. Chapter 1, verse 7. We want you to read this all out loud together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. Are you turning there? I'll give you a moment to find your place. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Sorry, back up. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 7. Are you ready? Here we go. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, you've got all the gifts. Ye come behind in no gift. So if we took the list in Romans chapter 12, they had all those gifts. If we took the list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or chapter 14, they had all those. If we took the list in Ephesians chapter 4, they had all those. Wow! What a gift to church! I've never pastored a church in the last almost 50 years where I thought we had all the gifts. But that church had all the gifts. And yet the Lord says to that church that they were carnal. Look in chapter 3, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, you are behaving like a lot of babies. Very gifted babies. You all have all these abilities given to you by God at salvation, but you're beating on the tray of the high chair with your spoon. You're behaving like a lot of babies. You know, if you read through 1 Corinthians, you see their carnality. You see them fighting over which was the best preacher. I like Peter. I like Paul. I like Christ. I like Apollos. You find them taking each other to court in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you find that they let an immoral man continue in the membership of the church. They had all sorts of problems with carnality, and yet they had all the gifts. Isn't that strange? It's not all that strange. It's fairly common. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians 13, and just for a few minutes, I promise, we're going to look at what the Holy Spirit says through the apostle in these first three verses. All that's introductory. We won't come back to this next Sunday night. We're going to look further in this chapter, but I want you to notice these first three verses. Follow along, please, if you're there in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. How many spiritual gifts do you think are in those three verses? I'll give you a couple of seconds here to read over those. Jillian thinks there are five. How many did you find? Well, I was in a minimalist congregation this morning, and they said they thought there was one. Well, how many do you see? How many do you see in verses 1 to 3? Are you counting? Four? What do you think, Rakev? All right. We got two votes for five. How many think? Three votes for five? Mrs. Highland is bidding higher. She says six? Seven. Oh, she's really on the ball. What do you think, Chris? Seven? Okay, we got a pocket of consensus back here. That's allowed. There are at least, I thought 4 to 6, but I must have missed one. There are several that are mentioned. But did you notice the common thing? The common statement about all these gifts? That if we exercise our spiritual gift ever so well, without charity, it has no value. Did you catch that? Look again at verse 1. When the Apostle Paul speaks here of speaking with the tongues of men and of angels, he's not speaking of talking gibberish. He's talking about what happened in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came down and filled the disciples, and they were able to speak known languages they had never learned. I have a friend that's a missionary in Lithuania. I cannot speak a word of Lithuanian. When we were in Nepal, I thought I learned one word of the Nepalese language, but I didn't. I found out I was wrong. I thought Ani meant and. And I said to Brother Cloud, I think I know one word. And I told him, he said, you're wrong. Susan has learned some Nepali language. What was the word you knew?
Jamasti.
Jamasti. So what does that mean again? All right, so if you come up to someone and say Jamasti,
yeah,
like that.
If you're Hindu, you say Namaste.
If you're Hindu, you say Namaste. Now, don't say that, okay? Don't say that. Jamasti, okay? So if I say, next time I see a fire, I say Jamasti, like that. She's going to say, keep it to yourself. It's only because she's slightly cheeky. But you know something? Those people in Acts chapter 2 spoke languages that were real languages. And when you count up how many language groups are listed that people heard with understanding on that day of Pentecost, you say, that is a great miracle. Here are Galilean fishermen, tax collectors, laborers, common people who probably had learned Hebrew from birth. Maybe they knew Greek, probably they did because it was the trade language. And they had a smattering maybe of Latin because the Romans ruled them. But you talk about the other languages that are listed there in Acts chapter 2. They hadn't learned those. And it was a godly work, a divine work of the Holy Spirit to enable them to speak fluently those languages that we find represented in Acts chapter 2. And so the Holy Spirit says here, all right, let's suppose just for a moment here that you can speak fluently languages you never learned, and you can do it as a gift of the Holy Spirit, and you do it without charity. It's like a lot of rocks rattling in a tin can. You are like a tinkling, you're sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. When we used to herd sheep, I worked for a vet, and we found we could move them along a little bit faster if we'd put some rocks in a tin can and rattle the tin can. And you know, the Lord says, if you don't have love in the exercise of your gift, no matter how fluent you are in the exercise of your gift, it doesn't have any value. He says here, you are making noise. And then in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, or this if this has to do with preaching, and understand all mysteries. Some say this is the gift of wisdom that's mentioned in chapter 12. There is also a gift of knowledge there, possibly in verse 2. And though I have all faith, so we could have possibly four in this verse, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now, originally it said you're making a lot of noise in verse 1. This verse says, I am nothing. If I can do all of this and do it without God's love, shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit, then I have no personal worth. I am no value to God. I am nothing. And then look at verse 3. Because the theme is carried on into verse 3, where the Lord says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Well, we can say here that there is Christian charity, that there's love for hungry people. We can say here that it's giving, bestowing all my goods to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be burned, even to the point of laying down my life for other people, even to the point of becoming a martyr, the Scripture says that if I do this without charity, there are no rewards. It profiteth me nothing. We're going to stand, every one of us who is saved, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, according to Romans 14, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. This is not to determine our salvation. This is to determine our rewards, to hand out the rewards to faithful Christian servants. There's no one going to be lost after this judgment, but there are some that are going to find that they were saved, but so as by fire, that all of their works like wood, hay, and stubble are going to be burned before the fiery gaze of Christ, and only the gold and silver and precious stones of faithful service to God in reality and sincerity will remain, the wood, hay, and stubble all gone. And there are going to be big-name Christians, world-renowned Christians, people that everybody knows that are going to find that there's no rewards. Oh my, how frightening that is, how embarrassing that is to think that someone that spent their whole life in evangelistic work or their whole life in missionary work and it was not done out of love, ever so fluent, ever so gifted, capable of doing so many things, led so many people, and it was not done out of love. And the Lord says, it profiteth me nothing. It will have no rewards connected to it at all. We really understand, don't we, we're understanding better what the Lord meant when He said to us in the Scriptures that many that are first shall be last. Many that are last shall be first. We find more about this as we read in the Scriptures. And so then I want you to notice here in chapter 13, the beginning in verse 4 and following, and we're going to close here as soon as I share this thought with you. Beginning in verse 4 and reading down to the first phrase of verse 8, we have a description of the love that is required, the charity that is required of Christians for the exercise of our gift to be worth anything. Many things to say about this, but I want to tell you this, that the description that's given here is God's description of love. If you've been running on Hollywood's description of love, you need to chuck it in the bin tonight. The rubbish man will be around early in the morning and let him carry it away. Okay? Because Hollywood's definition of love is not God's. If you've been running on Nashville's definition of love, you need to chuck it in the bin tonight, let him carry it away, and go back to God's definition of love. if you've been running on the Mardi Gras definition of love, heaven forbid. You need to get rid of that and go back to God's definition of love. Now, I want to warn you, I encourage you to read these verses over this week. Think about this. We're going to come back here, the Lord willing, if we're still here on earth and the Lord allows, next Sunday night we're going to come back here. I want to tell you that the focus is not on feeling. Okay? The Lord does not say to us, this is how love feels, or how it smells, or how it sounds. I think perfume companies would like girls to believe that there's a certain perfume, that's how love smells. And musicians would like us to think that there's a certain sound, that's how love sounds. And there are probably people who make clothing that would say to us, this is how love feels when you wear it. But the Lord doesn't say any of those things. You know what He says? This is how love works. Because what we have in chapter 13 is the functional definition of love. This is how it works. It is not mechanical, but it's practical. And it has to do with the way we behave and the way we treat people and the way we relate to each other. It has to do with what we do. Love in the Bible is more related to choices of the will than it is pit-a-pat of the heart. Now, I want to tell you that if you really set yourself to love people and ask God to make it possible and work in your heart and to shed abroad in your heart the love of God, Romans chapter 5, verse 5, if you ask the Lord to work the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering in your life, and you let yourself be used of God, you'll find yourself behaving in ways you never behaved before. You'll find yourself loving people that you couldn't stand last week. You'll find that the caste system that develops in every church... Did you know every church has a caste system? We asked the people in Nepal, do you have a problem with the caste system in Nepal? They said a little bit, because Hinduism is the religion in Nepal. And they said, we have a bit of a problem with it, but nothing like India. Where's India? We're not talking about you. We're talking about the nation, okay? Nothing like the nation of India, because they look down their noses at people. What did you say, Mrs. Smith, that a Smith is of low caste? Is that what you told me? So I'm low caste. But she said people with big noses belong to the Brahmin caste and they're the high caste. See? And so I'm somewhere in between there. Remind me of that. Did you know that churches have caste systems? Did you know that? Whew, I'm not going to sit by him. He's got a pink shirt and pointy shoes on, and I'm not going to sit by him. He's not cool. Or I am going to sit by him because he has a pink shirt and pointy shoes on. I like that. That's cool. Do you know there's a caste system in churches? Sure there is. You try wearing a camo tie to church, and the castes will divide. You got one, Chris? Well, borrow cams. Who's got one? Dave probably has one, doesn't he? Dave, do you have a cast? Do you have a cast tie? I mean, do you have a camouflage tie? We'll take up an offering after, okay? Well, there's a caste system in church. You know what we call it? We call it cliques. We need a good hot sermon on that. Brother Chris, can you bring us a good hot sermon on cliques in the church? Amen. So what we're saying is this, that a church can be ever so gifted. Look, I really rejoice. You folks are a real blessing to my heart. I really thank the Lord for those who teach and preach the Word of God, for those who exhort, for those who serve, for those who give, for those who show mercy. We are really blessed. Maybe there are all the gifts in this little assembly of Christians, but they're not worth anything if we don't exercise those gifts in the fruit of the Spirit. And did you notice that when the apostle finishes this chapter, he says prophecy is going to go, knowledge is going to go, and what was the other one he mentioned? Tongues will cease, but charity will endure. And I think we will find that what lasts the longest is not the gift, but the fruit. Because love is the fruit of the Spirit. So let's stop there. I want you to come to me tonight if you have questions or difficulties with what we talked about. Come and ask, say, Pastor, I didn't understand this, or Pastor, I don't agree, I think you missed something here, and we'll talk it over and pray together about it and search the Scriptures and see what we can gain that will be a help.